This is HBR episode 2951 for Monday, the 25th of November 2019. Today's show is entitled A Walk Through My PyFace CAD Python Code Part 2, and as part of the series A Little Bit of Python. It's hosted by Mr. X, is about 15 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is: in this episode, I cover some generic functions at the top of the code.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello and welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience. My name is Mr. X and welcome to this podcast. I'd like to start as usual by thanking the people at HPR for making this service available to us all. It's a truly invaluable service. HPR is a community-led podcast provided by the community for the community. That means you can contribute too. Why don't you record something and send it in? I'm sure we'd all find it interesting. Okay, so this is part two of my run through my Python code for the PyFace CAD, PyFace CAD command and display add-on board, which I have for my Raspberry Pi. In this episode, I cover the generic functions at the top of the code, basically. I forgot to mention last time that I'll include a copy of my Python code cad-menu.py, is that what it was called? I think it was. I'll include a copy of that script on in each of the episodes. I recorded this the actual main part all on a one-hour, and listening back to it, I noticed that I started off at a nice pace, nice gentle pace, and gradually it gets faster and faster, to the point where I'm just a gibbering wreck and just desperate to get to the end of it. So I must apologise for that, and don't worry if you can't comprehend it. It's a fault at my end, not yours. So never mind. Anyway, on with the show. So this is part two. Sit back and enjoy. Watch my time. How long has this been going for? 15 minutes. Oh, this is a disaster. This is going to be far too long. Right, okay, global variables. So, yeah, rubbish. Got too many global variables. So, I'll just mention the various functions. So, I've got the first function come to is get HPRQ. So, I've got description here: go to Hacker Public Radio stats page and extract the number of days to next free slot. Turns on blink stick LED with color dependent on the number of days to next free slot in HPRQ. Prints number of days to next free slot to the display. Yeah, so I think that's quite self-explanatory. The next one is a series of functions set up to control the blink stick. So I've and it's probably next from the blink stick documentation or whatever. So blink stick underscore off, well, that turns all the blink sticks you've got attached off. Blink stick on, open parenthesis, color, close parenthesis. So if you give it, if you pass a value to it the way you should do it, you can pass a color, and it will change color. So if you called bstick underscore on, open parenthesis, and you put the color in, I don't know, let me think, blue. Is there a blue? I'm not sure if there's a blue. Red, then. It must be a red. Green. There's a green. Close parenthesis. Then it'll switch on the blink stick color green. So valid colors, what's it say? Black, silver, grey, white, maroon, red, purple, fuchsia. There's a red. Green, lime, olive, yellow, navy, blue, teal, and aqua. How accurate these colors are going to be? Well, I don't think terribly accurate, but there you go. So that's blink bstick on. Bstick on random, that just turns it on with a random colour. A bstick blink, turn blink stick on with supplied colour. Oh yeah, it's bstick underscore blink, open parenthesis colour, close parenthesis. So you can give it a colour and it'll blink off and on, basically. Right, so that's the end of the blink stick stuff. Def run CMD, run command, used to run external Linux commands, so you could run a command with that, basically. Now, I think that I may have got that idea from a project that somebody did to turn their Raspberry Pi into a internet radio thingy. I think I may have got that from that. I'll maybe see if I can find the reference. Get my IP. Well, that just returns IP address. That's what that does. Get my ESSID. Well, that gets your Wi-Fi SSID, basically. Get my Wi-Fi strength. Well, it gets the Wi-Fi strength as a percentage. Next one, wait for IP. That tries 10 times to get an IP, a valid IP address. While a length of variable IP is less than 0 and the count is greater than 0, then go through the loop, basically. And if it can't get it within 10 turns, it'll say error, no IP. So it's a very, very basic thing. I'm not even sure if it works properly, to tell you the truth. I haven't thoroughly tested that. Def show Wi-Fi info. Shows Wi-Fi information on display. Shows ESSID on first line and both the Wi-Fi signal strength as a percentage and the IP address on the second line. Obviously any of these ideas you can pinch for your own use. Any of these ideas you can obviously pinch for your own use. Custom bitmaps. Selection of custom bitmaps to use on LCD display. So I've got a speaker, a play, a stop, a playlist, a pause, a back, and a forward. I think some of these I had to draw myself. Was it pause I had to draw myself? I can't remember. One of these ones I had to draw myself anyway. I couldn't find an example online. And there's a website you can go to work out. I think it's a chip that it uses on the LCD display board, and the company that provides a chip has got a website, a handy website, where you can put in numbers and it'll give you an it'll show you what it's going to look like, basically. Because it's quite tricky to do it with numbers yourself without this website. Although you can do it, I think. So that's that. Write long string. Open parenthesis, long string, close parenthesis. So this is one of these rare examples where I pass a value to one of my functions. It's a string that you pass to it. So writes a long string to the Pi face control and display LCD and scrolls it to the left until the last character appears on the right hand side of the screen. This is my... I had multiple attempts at doing this. My first attempt was just a hack, really, and it sometimes got it wrong and all sorts of stuff. This one seems to work. This seems to work reliably, and I add a character at the end because it's Otherwise, it would be a kind of special character. I think it's a kind of arrow thing that I came across. It's like a pointy arrow, so that you can clearly see where the end of the string appears and the beginning starts. Because otherwise, it's not tricky to see. It's a bit tricky to see where the string stops, sort of thing. So there's a few variables. You've got global variables and local variables. So local variables are only visible from within that function. So there's a number of local variables in the write long string function. One is called display size, and it got set to 15. So that's the number of characters that can be displayed on one line of display. Another one, step size, and that's currently set to 4. Step size when scrolling message on display. So as it's scrolling across, how many characters on each scroll do you want it to move? If it's going to ripple through, is it moving the screen one character or two characters or four characters, whatever? Now, this was something I added as a refinement later on because I'll carry on that, I'll explain in a minute, because after that I've got scroll speed, and that's set to 0.55, I think that's of a second, 0.55 a second. Adjust scroll speed, delay in seconds between scrolls. The last one is scroll equals 0. Default value for scroll, used when string is smaller than display size. So if the string is smaller than the full width of the screen, then there's no need to scroll it, so it scrolls 0. So that's what that's for. So what I discovered was that obviously LCD, it's quite a basic LCD screen, and at different temperatures the update refresh rate differs. So sometimes it can be very blurry, particularly when the temperature drops, but then it can be okay in the summer. So then you make it really slow, and then you find that it's that slow, it's taking forever to scroll, and it's unnecessarily slow in the summer. So what I did was I thought, well, it doesn't actually need to move just one character at a time. It can move more, and I found that 4 characters was quite a good compromise. You could still clearly see it scrolling across the screen. It looked quite natural, and 0.55 of a second between each scroll was fast enough that it didn't blur too much, and you could still read it. Obviously, you can tweak these settings yourself, but that's the whole point of having these variables. Rather than digging around in the code trying to work out what the heck's going on, you can just tweak these numbers and to suit yourself. And you could go crazy. I mean, you could say, right, okay, if it's between this month and that month, then it's summer, so therefore set the scroll speed to this speed. If it's between this month and that month, and it's obviously winter, so set it to that speed. So you could do all sorts of clever things. It's you're limited only by your own imagination. I mean, that's the beauty of doing this sort of thing yourself. Probably nobody else on the planet would be slightly interested in this. There you go. But I remember Klaatu talking about a project that he did. He said, a good project, he said something along the lines of it's something that the person themselves is fascinated by and things that finds it wonderful, but nobody else can see any point to or something to that effect. And I think that's true. These days I just tend to use this thing. I don't tend to look at it at all. I haven't looked at the code for a while, other than this tiny wee change I was telling you about earlier with a variable. Init display sets up the LCD display for selected menu, 0 for podcast, 1 for audiobooks, and 2 for system. So yeah, you just call init display, and it sets the display back up again for resets the screen, basically. Quite handy. Display main menu. What's the difference between initiate display? Oh yes, display main menu. So this is the when you're changing between the menus, you get a brief message telling you what menu you're in. So clear the LCD and display the appropriate main menu message. So for example, if you're in menu 0, it'll print 0, 0, open square bracket, podcast, close square bracket. It'll wait for 0.7 of a second and then go to init display to initiate the display for the screen for menu 0. And if it's not 0, it does the one for audiobooks, which is 1. If it's not that, it's 2, which is system, and so on. And if it's not that, it's an invalid menu. Right. So finally, we get on to the buttons, except we don't, because I think that's a good place there to stop. I think that's long enough. So thank you very much for listening to this. Hopefully, you got something out of it. If you want to contact me, I can be contacted at mrx@hpr@googlemail.com. That's mrxathpr, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So tune in next time for exciting episode part 3 of my series on my Python program. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.